using today is called Perfect Jesus, Come and Fill. And I'd like to just set this up a little bit to get our minds centered on the thoughts that we want to take out of this song overall. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And when we think about being poor in spirit, it's an attitude in our life that we recognize that we are nothing and God is great and we need Him in everything we do. It's that humility of heart. It's that, "Lord, I know I can't do anything about this right now, and I'm just depending on you." That's the attitude of being poor in spirit. This song speaks to that thought, asking Jesus to fill up our lives with His Spirit. And, of course, using the words "come and fill" reminds me of what Jesus also said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We want God to fill us with the Spirit and fill us with righteousness. So we're going to sing this song. It's a very unusual song, by the way. It's written like someone would write maybe a novel or a speech or something in the literary world, because it has three parts. And so I want to talk about that before we get right into the hymn. There's a prelude or an introduction. Just like if you were going to give a speech, I guess you have an introduction, then you have your main body of your speech, and then you have your conclusion. And this song does that as well. In fact, I don't know of any other hymn I've ever found that does this and does it quite beautifully, because when we get to the conclusion, the coda at the end of the song, it's pretty much the climax of what we all talked about. And the words are very similar to the introduction that we'll see. So let me give you the words to the introduction, and we'll get started. The prelude. It says, "Soul and body, mind and spirit, perfect Jesus, come and fill." Again, look at the completeness of that phrase. We want Christ in our soul. We want to use Christ with our bodies. We want to have Christ filled in our mind and in our spirit, our very being. We want to be Christ-centered. So let's learn the prelude, the introduction, and then we'll learn the first verse. Okay, so we're going to break this down part by part. And by the way, since it's not in our hymnal, I thought it only fair that I shouldn't have a hymnal either, so I'm going to learn it from the screen like you are. So let's start here. Let me get my... Soul and body, mind and spirit, perfect Jesus, come and fill. And that's it. That's all you sing at the very beginning. So let's look at the verse, and then I'll sing. We'll go back and sing both of those together. There are five verses that are in the main part of the hymn. So here's the first one. Let me sing through it once so you can hear the tune, and then we'll sing it together. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit, purest manna, satisfy. Paschal portion, bring abundance from the feast, your word supply. So the tune's not that difficult. So let's try it together. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit, purest manna, satisfy. Paschal portion, bring abundance from the feast, your word supply. Okay, let's go back and sing the introduction and the first verse. And then Ryan's going to get up and talk a little bit about thoughts that he has glean from the words in this hymn. Soul and body, mind and spirit, perfect Jesus, come and fill. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit, purest manna, satisfy. From the feast, your words apply.
If you will, open with me to John 6, John chapter 6. Two quick announcements as you're turning there. First of all, the Tuesday morning study on the Spirit, we will plan on presuming that on Tuesday. The weather's supposed to be up to 50 on Tuesday, so I don't think we'll have any problem getting here. So if y'all will, please pass the word on to those who attend that, because I know most of them don't get the text messages. So please let them know that. Then the second thing about the other study. So we were supposed to have our first grace study this evening. Our neighborhood's just not in a condition to support that this evening. So let me tell y'all what our plan B is. What we're going to do is continue with our study Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And we're going to combine the studies so everybody can come. What we're going to do is eat first and then study after, because I've already smoked 18 pounds of pork. So we're going to have dinner first at 7 o'clock and then we're going to eat afterward. We should be out of there by 8:30, 9 o'clock is what I'm planning on. If you plan on being part of the grace study this year, like the Spirit or Nature of God study, but you can't come Tuesday night, please let me know. What I'm going to do is offer another time, probably on a Wednesday evening after services, to introduce the topic, because this is one, like all studies, class one is really, 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 really important. If you don't get class one, the rest of the study is not going to make any sense at all. So if you do plan on coming but cannot come on Tuesday at 7 p.m., let me know. And then we'll find another time to get together, okay? So again, canceling the one this evening. And Kirby, when's it going to be? At 7 o'clock. There we go. Tuesday at 7 o'clock. All right, well, let's get to the verse. Bruce brought this song to my attention a couple weeks ago, and I absolutely loved it. What this song has done, and you'll see as we proceed through the verses, is it takes so many of the major themes that I've taught about over this last year and just brings them together in such a spiritual and cohesive manner. When you look at verse 1, let's read it together. You can see the words on the screen. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit. Purest manna, satisfy. Paschal portion, bring abundance. From the feast, your words supply. So drawing upon this imagery of being physically hungry, what the lyricists have done is taken the spiritual longing that we have and demonstrate how the words of Jesus fill that hunger. Now, the first part of this comes out of John 6. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit, purest manna, satisfy. Jesus himself says in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 32, Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So what the authors have done is taken from John chapter 6 this imagery of Jesus being our spiritual bread. Now, those of you in the John class should know this chapter very well. Just as God gave manna to his people in the wilderness to sustain their hunger, Jesus now has come down from heaven to fill the spiritual hunger of the world. And just as the manna was broken on the cross, the body of Christ was not broken. Not a bone was broken. But now giving us then the bread that we have in his Lord's Supper, remembering that Jesus fills us. Now the second part of the verse says, Paschal portion. What is a paschal portion? Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. The word paschal is referential to Passover. So it's really that descriptor for Passover. So whenever it says paschal portion, bring abundance from the feast your word supply. This is drawing upon the imagery of the Passover, which Jesus himself alludes to in John 6, demonstrating that he himself now is the one who fills us. Begin with me in Exodus chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Yahweh said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take from a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each person can eat, and you shall make count for the lamb. So what God is commanding them here is that they need to take of the lamb, use the blood, but then this paschal lamb would be part of the feast. Go down with me to verse 14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yahweh throughout your generation, as a statute forever you shall keep the feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you. So what God tells them is that you shall eat of the Paschal lamb, you shall eat of the bread of the Passover, symbolizing the fact that God himself has provided. And I think just what's interesting to me from a culinary perspective about this is, God wanted there to be no doubt about the fact that he was filling them. Do you know what yeast leaven does to bread? It makes it rise. Yeast makes what can be 2 cups of flour expand and look like a whole lot larger. God's telling them, no, there shall be no yeast in this bread. It shall be unleavened bread, reminding you that I myself have sustained you. I myself have saved you, and I myself am your God. And now we who live on this side of the cross are able to remember that Jesus has come and filled us because he has been, his body has not been broken, but symbolized in the bread that we now partake, Jesus himself fills us. And what a beautiful thought it is that we can go to our God in worship of this song. First two verse.
Okay. Verse 2.
Living water, wash my spirit, quench my thirst and still my strife. Overwhelm me, drown in mercy, raise me to eternity.
Y'all can already guess this is my favorite verse of the song. I'll tell one story about Grayson real quick. Grayson, he's called me a couple of times this week, and he visited a congregation last Sunday morning. And then part of the sermon, they were talking about living water, living water, living water. And I think for those of y'all who've been through my spirit study, and those of you going through this, you'll know this in about 4 weeks. Jesus himself says that living water is something very, very special. The speaker neighbor made the connection in the sermon, and he was just begging them to draw it out a little bit further. What is the living water that we partake? Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John 4. If you will, don't turn this evening. I'm going to quote a few scriptures just for the sake of time. Just listen for me. John chapter 4, listen to verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." When Jesus talked to the woman at the well and he promised her living water, what did he promise? He did not promise her water that was from a stream. Yes, that's what the word means, running water. But he promised her something far more special. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink," quoting from Isaiah 55. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were yet to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was yet to be glorified. Living water washed my spirit, slake my thirst, and still my strife. Overwhelm me, drown in mercy, raise me to eternal life. We now have the abundance of God's Spirit poured out, and drink in full measure God's own Spirit that he's poured out. Lord Jesus, come and fill. Bruce, verse 3.
King of kingdoms, rule my spirit, Prince of heaven, bind my soul. Lord of lightning, I surrender, give my will to your control.
When I first read this verse, I was amazed about how many things this draws together that we've studied over the last few years. Currently, we're in the book of Daniel in our Wednesday night class upstairs. Daniel 7, a majestic chapter. "As I looked," says Daniel, "I saw thrones that were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its will was burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court sat in judgment, and the books were open. And I saw that night a vision. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. And his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." We now serve Jesus, the Son of David, who sits on his Father's throne in judgment and in salvation of this world. King of kingdoms, rule my spirit. Prince of heaven, bind my soul. Lord of lightning, I surrender. Give my will to your control. A question that's never clarified in the Old Testament is exactly how much the prophets understood about the glorification and suffering of Jesus. But you wonder, whenever Daniel looked up and saw this vision of splendor, and we now who look up upon a resurrected Lord, we both proclaim, yet perhaps with different perceptions, "Lord of lightning, I surrender. Give my will to your control." Verse 4.
Verse 4 is meant to be sung softly. And you'll notice that by the words as well, that it certainly implies that we should sing it softly.
Humble servant, bend my spirit, Son of suffering, grant me pain. Teach my knee the soil of service, lift my heart to love again.
Is that verse difficult for you to sing? I think so. Bruce taught this song to a few on Wednesday night, and I know Randy had a conversation with Bruce about this one afterward. This is a hard one, y'all. This is a hard one. Humblest servant, bend my spirit. I'm going to break this one apart just a little. Have you ever heard of someone who's strong-willed? That was my sister growing up. I was the parent pleaser. And my sister was the strong-willed one, who after 4 hours of discipline, still would not say yes, sir. She's changed a lot. Love her to pieces. Don't let that get back to her. But y'all understand what it means to be strong-willed, stubborn-spirited? Humblest servant, bend my spirit. Son of suffering, grant me pain. When you sing that as a Christian, knowing what Jesus went through, Isaiah says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who was considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And yet they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of Yahweh to crush him, and he put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Peter likewise says, I read this one last Sunday night, but Peter here in commenting of the cross says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Brethren, I truly wonder when we sing this song how much understanding we bring to the fact that we are going to God in song and worship, asking him to give us suffering, to give us pain, to make us servants of others, because truly the gospel message is only through suffering, humiliation, and pain will we have any hope of being like our Lord? Verse 5.
Verse 5.
Shoot of Jesse, search my growing branch of David, nourish still. Graft me in and set me bearing fruit and flower by your will.
This song is just so rich. Shoot of Jesse. I hope you all know who that refers to. I thought about bringing a note card up. Shoot of Jesse, surge my groaning. Isaiah again says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of Yahweh. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. Isaiah promised that there was coming a day when the shoot of Jesse, that is the father of David, would bring forth one of its branches. And this branch would come and then be the ground upon which the whole nation would flourish. And so when we say, shoot of Jesse, surge my growing, branch of David, nourish still, I would argue that this song has to be read in order. Don't read the verses disconnected. We have just asked for suffering and pain. The hymnist here is telling us it is through the means of suffering that we ourselves are going to be more like Jesus. It is through the means of pain that we ourselves are going to bear fruit for God. And so then this psalm ends right before the conclusion and says, graft me in and set me bearing fruit and flower by your will. Thanks to Angela Kimball, I learned this year what grafting is. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, so I did ask, did the Jews stumble in order that they may fall? By no means. Rather, through the trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root who supports you. So as you look through the verses of this song, the prelude, the introduction asks, I have a longing, I have an emptiness, fill me. Verse 1 says, I am hungry, give me your word. Verse 2 says, I am thirsty, give me your spirit. Verse 3 says, I am haughty, give me humility. Verse 4 says, I am sinful, make me a servant. And verse 5 says, because of all of this, let me bear the fruit of sanctification. Conclusion.
And so now the conclusion of the hymn, and it's, like I said, it's similar to the introduction, the prelude, just changed a little bit, so I'm going to sing through it one time, and then we'll sing it together.
Soul and body, mind and spirit, emptied now, await your will. I've no other satisfaction. Perfect Jesus, come and fill.
Let's sing it together.
Soul and body, mind and spirit, emptied now, await your will. I've no other satisfaction. must come and fill.
So Ryan's going to give us an invitation in just a moment, but before the invitation, let's put all that we've learned together, and if it's convenient for you, let's stand and sing the entire hymn together. Perfect Jesus, come and fill.
Soul and body, mind and spirit, perfect Jesus, come and fill. Bread of heaven, feed my spirit, purest manna, satisfy.
I'd like to offer the invitation based on the coda of the song, that is the conclusion, because what this is really doing is offering each of us a personal invitation about how seriously we will take our spiritual longing in the need of Jesus. Soul and body, mind and spirit. Otis, that's rectangular, is it not? Emptied now, await your will. Emptying myself, my soul, my body, my mind, my spirit, of all that I have of selfishness, all of self, none of thee, I await your will. I've no other satisfaction. Perfect Jesus, come and fill. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and be gathered in from the lands, and from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. Some wandered in the desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to Yahweh from their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank Yahweh for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of Yahweh. Brethren, this song is just not only beautiful, but it's demanding. Because what it's demanding of each of us is emptying ourselves in every last crevice of our being of that which is carnal and sinful and selfish, and turning it all over to the one who has created and renewed all things. Soul and body, mind and spirit, emptied now await your will. I've no other satisfaction. Perfect Jesus, come and fill. If you need to respond to the invitation of this song this very afternoon, come forward while we stand and sing.